Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Okay, their continued fallout of the AFC and the NFC championship game is ongoing, and I want everybody out there to know that we are not going to run and hide from football season, even though we're now, 12 days from the Super Bowl. And I saw Adam Schefter at ESPN put out a really interesting statement that this was, he believed, going to be the most intriguing offseason involving quarterbacks ever in the NFL. Because usually, let's be honest, quarterbacks don't move around very much. In fact, I believe I am correct in this. The only quarterback that has been let go by the team that has originally drafted him and has gone on to win a Super Bowl is when there are injury-related issues with that quarterback. Let me explain what I mean. Drew Brees, incredible career, but he went to the Saints and won a title with the Saints because the Chargers weren't sure that Drew Brees had anything left in his shoulder and because they were ready to turn the table and turn the franchise over to Philip Rivers. And then you also have Peyton Manning, who wins a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos, but the expectation is that he's not actually going to be able to come back at a high level, and the Colts are ready to turn the page to Andrew Luck. And so I use those guys as an example to say that NFL reclamation projects are rare. You can maybe point to Kurt Warner, came out of nowhere. Nobody expected him to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Trent Green gets injured. Boom, in steps Kurt Warner, and they win the Super Bowl. And then he goes to the Super Bowl again with Arizona with a new team. But by and large, that just doesn't happen. Ryan Tannehill last year took the Titans to the AFC championship game, but these are rare. This idea that there are a lot of reclamation projects available in the NFL, the Cam Newton experience is by far the more common experience with quarterbacks. They don't really pan out. They're free agents for a reason. If your team lets you go historically in the NFL, it's because they don't think you're good enough to win a Super Bowl with them. And most of the time, they're right. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning are the exceptions there. But what this new era may be heralding in the NFL is the quarterbacks have such power and they matter so much. Just look at what Tom Brady did this year. He took a losing team with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and he's got them in the Super Bowl. And there are a lot of teams looking around now and they're saying, wait a minute, maybe this idea that we had to draft our quarterback and the only way to win a Super Bowl is by developing talent, maybe there are going to be more free agents moving around in the NFL. Maybe there's different valuations. Maybe there are going to be ways to trade and or snag through free agency, adroit roster management, a quarterback who's good enough to win you a Super Bowl. And I saw this from Adam Schefter, and we're going to get into it a little bit later. Theoretically, Jay Glazer is scheduled to join us in the third hour of the program. Quarterbacks whose futures are in question right now, according to Adam Schefter: Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitch Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Ben Roethlisberger. And Schefter said, my over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18, and I'll go with the over. So there are not very many teams out there right now that as we enter into the offseason for everybody but Mahomes and everybody but Brady, who I think it's fair to say are the guys, everybody else out there is, if you really look at the availability, there aren't very many teams with locks at quarterback. All right, I'll give you my quarterbacks out there where you look at them and you're like, there's no way they're moving anywhere else, right? Cardinals are going to roll with Kyler Murray. Bills are going to roll with Josh Allen. Seahawks are rolling with Russell Wilson. The Ravens are sticking with Lamar. The Bengals, assuming Joe Burrow comes back healthy, he's their guy. The Chiefs, we already know, have Mahomes. The Giants, it seems like, would be very unlikely for them to move on from Daniel Jones. I would say that the Browns are set with Baker Mayfield, and the Titans are set with certainly Ryan Tannehill, and then the Chargers with Justin Herbert, right? That's pretty much it. I don't know for sure what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I don't know what's going to happen with Big Ben and the Steelers. I don't know what's going to happen with Dak and the Cowboys. I'm not 100% sold on Derek Carr's future with the Raiders, and I'm not 100% sure on Jared Goff. So, again, teams that I think are 100% locked in with their starters, Seahawks, Ravens, Chiefs, Chargers, Titans, Browns, the Bucks, the Cardinals, and the Bills. Basically, that's it. 10 teams. Another 22 that might be open to making a move at the quarterback position. Guys, we've never seen anything like this. And that doesn't even include teams with draft picks. What might the Dolphins do with Tua? He seems like their guy right now, but what if Deshaun Watson were available? We know that the Jags are probably going to go out and grab Trevor Lawrence. But outside of Trevor Lawrence, do you feel like there's a certainty that anybody else is going to be starting? Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance? I don't know. Mac Jones. There are a lot of guys out there, Kyle Trask. I don't know that we've ever had this degree of uncertainty at the quarterback position. And this many teams that could make a move, free agency, could make a move trade, could make a move in the draft. Just think about somebody like the New England Patriots. What in the world are they going to do after Brady has spurned them and gone way better? Like, do you think Bill Belichick will even watch the Super Bowl? Is there any doubt that in his heart of hearts, Bill Belichick was rooting desperately for the Packers to win? I understand that he might say the right thing publicly. Oh, I always want Tom Brady to win. We had a great time together. No, he wanted Brady to lose to Washington, and he wants Brady to lose to the Saints, and he wanted Brady to lose to the Packers. He may not say it publicly, but there's nobody in America, I bet, that wants the Chiefs to win more than Bill Belichick. And by the way, he'd like to see Tom Brady's team get beat 52-3 because he knows that letting Brady walk and win another Super Bowl would ultimately be an indictment of his acumen as a coach. And he knows that guys like me are going to sit around and say, in the great debate between Brady and Belichick, Brady has won and it isn't even particularly close. So there are going to be a lot of teams looking at what happened with Brady and the Bucks and saying, man, we think we're a quarterback away. We think if we got the right quarterback in here, we could be the next year version of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we haven't really had the ability for anybody to say that in a long time. The Titans may have been able to say it last year. Ryan Tannehill came in. They were successful. They got him on the reclamation project. But that doesn't happen very often where you find somebody on the quarterback scrap heap and you redeem them, and they end up being able to take you to the playoffs, much less win a Super Bowl. But now with Brady and with all the power that is now coming to bear, just think about what we've seen and heard about Carson Wentz and the Eagles, about Deshaun Watson and the Texans, about Aaron Rodgers. You heard us playing those clips yesterday from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. There are a lot of quarterbacks out there that feel, I think, in the wake of what Brady has done, that they have the power and the ability to force a trade almost NBA style. In the same way that James Harden and Kevin Durant and LeBron James and all the top players in the NBA, if they aren't happy, they feel like they can find somewhere and they can go win at a high level. Well, that's exactly what the top quarterbacks are starting to feel like. And if you're watching what Brady just did with the Bucs, don't you have to agree with him? Because if you look at what Brady did with the Bucs, he came in on a team that had a losing record and he's got him in the Super Bowl. And the only thing that really changed on that roster at all was Brady. He was the difference maker. He was the guy who put the Bucs in the Super Bowl. You still have Jameis Winston on that team. I'm not sure. I don't think. Certainly the evidence doesn't suggest that there's any way the Bucs would have made the playoffs, much less be in the Super Bowl. Anybody who watched Jameis Winston in his career think that Jameis goes on the road and wins in Washington and then goes on the road and wins in New Orleans and then goes on the road and wins in Green Bay? There's no way that happens. The only thing that changed was the quarterback. And I've been arguing this for a long time. You can almost pick who's going to win every single major game in the NFL just by figuring out the quarterback. You don't even need to know anybody else on the roster. And that's what Tom Brady has provided proof of concept of for us, is one guy can make that difference. When we come back, I want us to think about all those potential quarterbacks who are moving, the places that are the best that need a quarterback. I'll give you two right now that I think are a quarterback away from being able to contend, not just for a playoff spot, but for a Super Bowl run. I think the Indianapolis Colts are a quarterback away. They were a quarterback away last year. I still think they're a quarterback away. And I also think that if you look at what the Chicago Bears are capable of, they are a quarterback away from being able to make a run. The right quarterback away from being able to make a run like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We are breaking down everything in the world of sports, in particular the NFL, with Tom Brady now in the Super Bowl. I think the dynamic has changed in a big way. And so let's break all this down. Do you actually think, Dub, that Deshaun Watson is going to be on the market? And if he is, let me give you both of those options. You are Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Do you trade the number one overall pick, straight up Trevor Lawrence, theoretically, for Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely, 100%. I don't even think that's even debatable, personally.
Because you're so confident that Deshaun Watson is that good, and who knows how good Trevor Lawrence might end up being.
Well, I know what Deshaun Watson is in the NFL. I can't say the same for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's a safe bet, in my opinion.
It's a fun conversation. It would be a more fun conversation if the Jets had the number one overall pick. And I know they have Sam Darnold there, but I don't think they're going to make that trade in the division because you have to play against each other twice a year. And most of the time, guys are loath to make moves that are required in the division. All right, because then you have to play against each other twice, everything else. The other trade that is potentially available. Let's say Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins say, hey, you know what? You gave us, you got Laremy Tunsil, and you gave us back the number three overall pick. We really feel like we're playing with house money with this number three overall pick. Because in every single scenario we budgeted when we traded Laremy Tunsil, we never projected that we were going to end up with a top five pick from the Houston Texans, knowing that they had Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And you know what? We saw a little bit from Tua, and he's not necessarily as electric as we thought he might be. Just tossing it out there. Let's say that the Dolphins are being honest, and they may disagree with me, but I'm just tossing it out there. What if they offered the number three overall pick and Tua, who was obviously last year's number two overall pick, in exchange for Deshaun Watson? Do you take it?
If I'm the Texans, there's no way in hell I'm taking that trade.
Not good enough.
Like I said in last segment, it would have to be a Herschel Walker-esque offer for me to even
talk
start
is they
about
are
it.
Requesting like 3 first round picks, which is almost impossible for anybody to even have, right? Like, I mean, teams have 2 first round picks sometimes, but you're talking about either a multi-team involvement or you're giving up multi-years, right? So you're giving up like both first rounders this year and your first rounder next year, like a major giveaway in order to get Deshaun Watson. But this is where I wonder if Deshaun Watson really wants to put it to the Texans, is he actually willing to sit out? We know that Le'Veon Bell set out, not really a successful holdout. In fact, the exact opposite of a successful holdout, right? So as you break it down, to me, that is a really kind of challenging spot to find yourself in, that if Deshaun Watson is truly saying, I'm not going to play for you, I don't know if you're willing to call his bluff, but I know it gets out. And then everybody else knows they don't have to give up as many assets as you might have thought otherwise. And frankly, that's a good move for Deshaun Watson too, because the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want the team that you're going to have to give up so many assets that you've weakened your landing spot in a big way, right? This is why, like, LeBron has always been smart, I think, about waiting until he's an unrestricted free agent to move. Because why would you allow yourself to be traded to a team? Because that team would have to give up assets in order for you to be there. And so the difference, say, between James Harden and a LeBron is James Harden is asking for somebody else to have to give up a bunch. But when you are forcing your trade, if the team that's getting you has to give up a bunch of assets, you're actually undercutting yourself in the process. So to me, the smartest thing Deshaun Watson could do is he could just come out publicly and say, hey, the Texans have to trade me. I'm sitting out this year. I'm fed up with the organization. I'm refusing to play. Because then he's limiting what could actually happen and what could actually be given for him. And by the way, that's not just something that Deshaun Watson could do. If you're willing to burn down your relationship with the team, it's something that Aaron Rodgers could do. And who knows what exactly has gone on with Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. He might have finally said, hey, you know, Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders both retired rather than continue to play with your organization. It's time for you guys to make decisions that make sense going forward, or else I'm out. And maybe that finally worked for Matthew Stafford. I don't know.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We are joined now by one of the newest Outkick employees out there. He is Chad Withrow at, what is your new Twitter handle? At the Chad Withrow?
It is at the Chad Withrow. That is a take on the Chad. That is not me being as arrogant as Ohio State, like it's the Ohio State.
Yes.
So that's just a play on that. But yes, it's at the Chad Withrow. And if we can find the guy who's sitting on Chad Withrow, who hasn't tweeted in about 5 years,
you'd like to get that one. Yes.
Then we'll change it to at Chad Withrow at that point. But I got to get with that guy first.
All right. So we got a lot to get into here, but I want to start with this question. I confessed yesterday on the program, and I've also talked about it a little bit on this show, that I was a Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady guy, right? Everybody out there who is listening to us right now, who has been an NFL fan for any length of time at all, had to pick a side in the great Brady versus Manning debate. Same way with Tiger versus Phil, Federer versus Nadal. There are certain rivalries that are so epic, Magic versus Larry, that everybody feels like if you're a sports fan, you're on one side or the other. And so I would make the argument, hey, can you imagine if Peyton Manning had gotten to play for Bill Belichick, all the different data points and points of analysis there. I have had to give up that argument now, Chad, because I am convinced that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And if there was any argument left, if he had come out and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had gone 4-12 and he had been awful, I think certainly a lot of people would have said, well, Belichick was the reason why that dynasty existed. I think he has ended two arguments. One, I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't think there's an argument to the contrary anymore. And two, I think also he is the reason that the dynasty existed in New England. Are you buying both of those arguments?
Well, let me first say this. I would say Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. But, Clay, if your argument was Peyton Manning up until yesterday, I think you need to let Tom Brady win a Super Bowl with a second team before saying that he's definitely better than Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning did win it. He didn't just get there. He won it. He got there twice with a different team, with the Broncos, won it once.
Yep.
So if you stuck with that argument for that long,
no, I gave it up. I gave it up a couple of years ago.
Yesterday changes it. Okay, you did give it up a couple of years.
Yeah,
ago.
I think this
here's
ended
the other
it
thing too. Well, it's not just Brady, you know, being great. I mean, has Bill Belichick's stock ever been lower?
No.
Than it is right now.
That's
would
right.
You watch Tom Brady go to Tampa, a team that hasn't won more than what, 7 or 8 games in the last 7 years, and immediately goes to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what's amazing to me. This may be the lowest point of his reputation since he got fired by the Cleveland Browns, when you look at Bill Belichick.
Well, okay, now I want to build on the Brady to the Bucks. If Tom Brady goes to the Titans had to make a decision in the offseason. I haven't heard it talked about very much. They decided to give Ryan Tannehill $100 million instead of Tom Brady, $50 million, right? Brady got a 2-year, I think it was $25 million per, basically, contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Titans are guaranteed, I think it's like $99.9 million or whatever the heck it is. A big number, obviously, to Ryan Tannehill. In retrospect, if Tom Brady goes to the Titans and Ryan Tannehill goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what happens at those two franchises? What does the Titans season look like here, and what does the Bucs season look like with Tannehill?
Well, considering that Tom Brady can't rush the passer, and
yes,
that was the Titans' problem, I don't think it changes a thing. Now, would I have enjoyed covering Tom Brady in Nashville with the Titans more than Ryan Tannehill? Abso-freaking-lutely, if you could have Tom Brady on your team. So I think that helps. And just the impact of Tom Brady coming to your city is going to be huge with whatever team he decided to go to. But I really don't think it changes a thing. And that's not one that I can, you know, criticize the Titans on, because it worked out really well with Ryan Tannehill and that offense, which, by the way, was better than the Bucs offense and one of the best in the NFL this year. The Titans had no defense. That's why they were in the situation they were in. Now, I will say this, Clay. If you want to just look at one game, look at Tom Brady and the Bucs once they get in the playoffs, and look how the Titans offense completely let them down in their one playoff game against Baltimore this year. So if you want to point to that and say, well, Brady would have done better in the playoffs than Ryan Tannehill, okay, maybe I'm willing to buy that argument. But I think the Titans are just fine with Tannehill because their problem wasn't on offense. It was on defense all year.
All right, so it is an interesting question. And for people out there, it is true. The Titans had absolutely no ability to put pressure. There's nobody out there who were going to sack Aaron Rodgers 5 times or put pressure on him like they did, which was so fantastic. So I think it's a interesting angle in general to try to contemplate what will happen going forward for Tom Brady, right? We'll get to Patrick Mahomes in a minute. But how many more years at this point do you think that Tom Brady ends up playing? Because I'll be honest with you again, another point of reanalysis I think you have to do in the wake of this year. I thought Brady had this year and maybe next year. I would have put the number of years that he was going to play when he went to Tampa Bay at 1.5. Clearly, he's playing next year. And I now think, man, the guy, if you compare him, let's say, to Drew Brees, he looks like he's got 3 or 4 years left still. How many more years over under do you think Tom Brady plays as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think he can play at least 50.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
I've said this consistently. I mean, I think you tweeted out that picture, Clay, of him in 2001 when they went to their first Super Bowl, and then now
he looks younger now. He's Benjamin Button.
Yeah, now granted, that's also a great endorsement for Botox and how much better you can look and the haircut and everything else. And he's in a lot better shape at 43 than he was in 2001. He wasn't really taking care of his body the same way as he is now. But here's the big thing with Brady to me. You know, Drew Brees had the devastating shoulder injuries and arm injuries that by the end of his career, as we saw, his arm just was not the same. Brady had that awful, you know, broken leg injury in New England. So he's one more devastating injury away from not being able to recover and ever be a good NFL quarterback again at 43 years old.
Right.
But if he can continue to not get hurt and get rid of the ball quickly and play the same style that he did this year, People think I'm crazy when I'm saying it. I could see Tom Brady playing until he's close to 50, if he's able to do that. Now, if he comes out next year, takes a bad hit, falls on his shoulder, has a bad knee injury, I don't think he's coming back from it. He may come back from it, but it's not going to be nearly the same, much like what we saw with Drew Brees at the end of this season. But, I mean, with Brady, I mean, throw it out. You know, whatever you think, like, he's defied everything already. So I don't think it's ridiculous to think that the guy could play till he's close to 50.
It is kind of fascinating to think about how many more years he's going to play. Bigger picture also, we talked about, you know, basically Brady wins the divorce against Belichick. He's the, you know, you always think about celebrities who get divorced. Somebody wins the divorce, somebody loses it. For instance, I'm curious who you would make a historical, like, Hollywood analogy here between Brady and Belichick. I would go with the Brady-Belichick so far divorce, if we put it in, like, Hollywood power couple universe. Reese Witherspoon, pretty good post-divorce career. Ryan Felipe has basically disappeared, to my knowledge, right? They were a power couple. Like, Brady is the Reese Witherspoon here. Belichick is the Felipe. Is there any power couple that divorces and one side, like, just goes to a different level in your mind?
Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett.
Yeah, were they ever equals? Like, you could make an argument that Felipe and Reese Witherspoon were, like, if we had been talking, like, I don't know, was it 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was when they were together, and you were like, hey, do you want to buy stock in Reese Witherspoon or Ryan Felipe? Like, there might have been a 50-50 split where some people would have been like, you know, Ryan Felipe, like, guys can last a long time, right, in Hollywood. I mean, look at George Clooney. Like, if you're the right guy, you can last forever. Whereas Reese Witherspoon, she was famous since she was like 13 years old, but she is like rose up and dunked on Ryan Felipe, right? Like, if you look at their career since the divorce, there's no comparison there. And so I think it would have been a 50-50 thing at best. In fact, I think I would have gone Belichick because I didn't think Brady had that many years left, and it's easier to coach into an old age than it is to play quarterback. But I think Brady has balls in the face style dunked on Belichick and ended that debate.
Yeah, it's there's no doubt about it. Brady's definitely won that divorce, and you've got my mind thinking about other,
like, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, right? Brad Pitt has won that.
They're both fine. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that you could argue either one on that one. Like, they've both been fine.
What about Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton? Angelina Jolie won that one.
I mean, Demi Moore left Bruce Willis for Ashton Kutcher. But then her and Ashton Kutcher broke up.
Yeah.
So, you know, who won that one? Initially, you would say Demi Moore won. But, you know, last I checked, I think Bruce Willis's career has gone a little bit better than Demi Moore's. I also think of, like, actors who turned down big roles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one that jumps to mind is that when Indiana Jones was written, they wanted Tom Selleck to be Indiana Jones.
That's a great point.
Right?
Imagine what Tom Selleck's career is. Yes.
Well, and I was listening to a podcast with Reese Witherspoon the other day, and she wanted the role of Clueless.
And with Alicia Silverstone, yeah.
Instead, and she said that she found that no one knew that she went hard after that role until the creator of the movie said it in the podcast. And she was talking about, oh, well, thanks for outing me for, you know, really trying to go all in on that role and then not getting it. But then you think about Reese Witherspoon's trajectory with Alicia Silverstone. We could play this game all day, but I always think about those. There was some 80s actor also who it didn't work in his schedule to be Marty McFly in Back to the Future. It wasn't Judge Reinhold, but it was someone of the Judge Reinhold ilk that turned down because his schedule was too busy to be Marty McFly. Michael J. Fox stepped in for him. The rest is history there also. So, yeah, there's a lot of examples of this. But now we've got another one with Brady and Belichick.
All right, so I want to circle back around to the guy making the bad decision. Probably the worst professional decision. Let's first think about whoever that is that turns down. Like, this is basically the premise of One Night in Hollywood or whatever that was called, right? Like, that Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Turns down that iconic role, the old school movie, right? Like, where he decides not to do it. Basically, it doesn't happen for him. How frustrating do you think it is if you're Tom Selleck and you see that they're making a new Indiana Jones, if you are whoever that 80s, hey, Dub, look up and see if you can figure out while we're talking about this who the guy is who turned down the role of Back to the Future. Those movies become such iconic, unbelievably powerful moments of Americana. How angry do you think they are every time they're sitting around and like Back to the Future comes on, or you know, when Tom Selleck is just hanging out, like, do you think he just stands up and like throws his glass across the room? Like, how many years does it take to get over that?
It's got to be, Clay. Look, Tom Selleck may not be the best example simply because Tom Selleck's had a pretty good life himself.
Yeah.
Even since Indiana Jones, with everything that he's done. I mean, you know, he dated Monica on Friends. So he's done a lot of good things since then. But no, I mean, if you're someone who just never made it, and is it Eric Schultz? I'm trying to think of the actor. Anyways, from Back to the Future, it's killing me now. And by the way, the Back to the Future thing, I think that he actually started filming, and he was so bad that
they
the director fired him, pulled him off of it. Right, they pulled him off of it, and then Michael J. Fox stepped in. Anyways, if you're that guy, you are sitting on your couch, and you are angry at life.
It's Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz is the answer, by the way. Dub, you looked it up. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So I think of that guy when I think of that. And I think of the guys that have the super famous ex-wife that left them, and then they went on to stardom. You know, there's got to be guys like that out there. You mentioned Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon. This is a game. Maybe, Clay, we can tweet it out and play with it a little bit, but I think there's got to be some even better examples out there than we've come up with, although we have come up with some pretty good ones.
It's not just acting, by the way. The Dub, you can look this up, too. This guy died recently because I remember reading his obituary. He had a huge part of Apple, and he sold it back for, like, nothing to Steve Jobs or whatever else. And then Apple is now, you know, like a multi-trillion dollar company. And the guy took like $100K, right? And he just was like, you know, this life is not for me. And as a result, you know, like he stepped off of the treadmill in terms of being able to, you know, join Steve Jobs and the Jobs family and everybody else in what Apple created. And there's somebody else at Disney who had like a 10% stake at Disney and decided to walk away. Like, decisions like those, and it's one thing if, you know, you decide to walk away, like if you're a great, and Tom Selleck is a good example, because if you're a really talented guy, you still can take advantage of other opportunities. But I always wonder, like, okay, Titanic was an unbelievable superstar, right? Like, role. Who's the guy who was number two? And by the way, here's the Apple story. Ronald Wayne was one of the original founding partners. Steve Wozniak.
Ronald Wayne sounds like a serial killer, by the way. Hopefully yeah. He didn't kill anyone after he made this horrible decision.
Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, and Ronald Wayne started Apple in 1976. After 12 days, this guy, Ronald Wayne, decided this isn't for me. Take me out of the company, and sold his shares back for $800. And so otherwise he would be like a trillionaire, basically. Instead, he got $800.
Amazing. I mean, I hear Ronald Wayne.
Is that the all-time worst business decision ever made?
There's got to be other examples, too, but that's a bad one. Now, Clay, were you getting to Matt LaFleur's decision as one of the all-time worst decisions yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think from a coaching perspective, he's so young. I'm just kind of fascinated by the decision. You know, I got wrapped into who's winning the divorce. But yes, look, the Matt LaFleur. First of all, let's talk, as you circle me back around, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes for a moment. And then okay. If you want to come back with us for one more quick segment here, we'll talk about the disastrous decision by Matt LaFleur. But we talked about how many more years Tom Brady is going to play. Going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes will turn 26 years old, I believe, in September of this year, okay? He will be 26 years old in the next year of football. He's now been to three straight AFC championship games, two straight Super Bowls, and he is favored to win his second straight Super Bowl. Lines around 3 or 3.5. Okay. How many more Super Bowls? He's already got two. Does Patrick Mahomes play in his career if you were setting the number, the over-under? With the context here, Brady has played in 10, second most of all time, is John Elway at 5. 25-year-old Patrick Mahomes banks 2 here, regardless of whether he wins or loses, 2 Super Bowls. How many more in the rest of his NFL career? What is the number of Super Bowls he goes to?
It's I think he's going to go to at least one more after this year with this group of players. Here's what's amazing about Tom Brady. If you go back to the early 2000s and then the late aughts and then the early 2010s, look at all of those different surrounding cast of characters he won with. Right? Like, think about the Mike Vrabel Patriots when he was a player. And then think about the end of his tenure with the Patriots and all the guys that he's playing with. Can Patrick Mahomes do that? Does Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have a good enough system, rapport, general manager, everything that goes into it where you see Patrick Mahomes cycling through different eras of players throughout his career and can have longevity and get to multiple more Super Bowls? That's the big question. I think it's just so difficult to answer because Tom Brady is so unique and all the different cast of characters he did it with. You know, a lot of people comparing Brady to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan won his first 3 titles with almost a completely different group other than Scottie Pippen. Then he did the second 3. So he was able to cycle through. And I am curious, you know, I know you put out there Tom Brady's the greatest team sport athlete ever. I still am partial to Michael Jordan. And one of the things I love about Michael Jordan, he was 6-0 in the finals. He was 6-0 in the NBA finals. Tom Brady has lost Super Bowls. Tom Brady is about to lose another Super Bowl to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I would give Jordan the edge in that department. But, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, Clay, because I need to see how good the Chiefs are at finding players that can continue this cycle of championships and getting to the Super Bowl, and if Patrick Mahomes can mesh with those players the same way Tom Brady was for all those years.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jay Glazer joins us now. He is the man, the myth, the legend. I saw you tweeting, Jay, that you hate this time of year where it comes because you hang out with your guys, and it is pretty cool. Talk football, get ready for the NFL, and then, boom, if you don't have the Super Bowl, all of a sudden when the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship weekend is over, the season just comes to a screeching halt after all of the excitement, after all the anticipation. You're suddenly left with only one game.
Yeah, and for me, like I told you how important for me, how much I need a team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in here in L.A. and we're still in lockdown, so I don't have my fight team. Unbreakable's closed except for, you know, the parking lot workouts. It really isn't my thing. You know, MVP, we're not in person, so these guys are my team in person, and I have them. Yeah, I struggle every year around kind of this time and a couple times during the offseason. We get together a couple times in the offseason, and, man, I live for those. But, I was telling Howie, you know, like, yesterday, I'm like, man, just make sure you buy your phone because you know how much I struggle. Right after, like, I don't see you guys because we have so much fun. Like, that's my football family. And my football family to me is one that's really just as important as my regular family, to be honest. Like, we're there for each other in all sorts of things, and we're there for each other to obviously laugh our butts off. But, man, we've been there for each other for all our divorces, and there's a lot of divorces.
You know, it's funny because
we're always there for each other.
I've been fortunate enough to see you guys on the Fox lot in studio, and I always say the best television sounds very similar whether there's a camera running or not. You know what I'm talking about. Like, there's a lot of difference sometimes between the way guys will talk in the green room and the way they'll talk when the lights actually come on and the camera and there's, you know, microphones. And there's a stress level, right? It's a 100-yard walk or whatever it is from the green room at Fox to the actual studios there. And yet you guys, and I think it speaks well to your chemistry, sound very similar sitting watching games in front of the chairs having a drink as you do when you're in front of the cameras, and that's hard to pull off.
Exactly the same, except I don't curse on TV.
Yeah, right.
Like otherwise, I am Howie used to have a counter, and I come in these meetings just how I talk. I'm from Jersey, and how it's just how I talk, and you know, it's I use it as free expression, the F word. And
yeah.
All of a sudden I see him, you know, pressing this little thing. I'm like, what the bleep was that? And
yeah.
He's pressing the thing. I'm like, I don't get it. They're all laughing. And it turns out he had a curse word counter for me. But other than that, like, dude, when we rehearse, we don't really say what we're going to say in rehearsal. So
yep.
First time you guys are hearing it on air at home is the first time we're really saying it, because we want it to be natural. And, I mean, it's funny when we have guests come in, because I remember, I'll never forget, first time we had Reggie Bush in as a guest. He was playing for the Lions for a playoff game, and I was doing a sit-down with him on the football field there as his segment. And we rehearsed him. And we're just doing like we normally do. We're messing around. We're screwing around. And all of a sudden, Reggie's like, all right, well, when are we rehearsing? I was like, no, that was it. He's
yeah.
like, what do you mean that was it? I'm like, yeah, that was it. He's like, no. You guys are crazy. I can't do that. Like, you guys, no. He starts freaking out. We're like, whoa. All right. And we realize that we just have such good chemistry together and just play off each other. Look, and for everybody at home who's trying to break into television, and I tell this to every player also, the way you're supposed to be, man, we're just sitting in a bar talking sports, right? That's why I can't stand when people come on and go, you got the number one ranked offense against the number two defense, and something's got to get – like, man, nobody talks like that.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously we know that. We could read that in USA Today. But, man, let's – you know, give me something that I can't hear. I can't read somewhere else. But also, that camera is the bartender.
Yeah.
Your friend. Don't get so afraid by it. Just think, hey, I'm just – like, if we are sitting in a bar, you and your friends and me and your friends, we could sit there all day long and talk about football. But when the camera comes out of the lights, people get very nervous. So I've always just looked at that camera as if that's just the bartender. Or I used to look at it like that was Strahan, and Strahan would look at it like that was me.
Yep.
And that's the advice I have for anybody trying to break in this business. Don't get so scared. Just look at it like he's the bartender and just speak as if you're – you know, trying to entertain people at a bar.
It's such a good point. And I've done enough television now that's great advice. And it's amazing how many guys are all stars in the green room and then fall apart as soon as they actually get in front of the camera, because they tighten up, they tense up, they're afraid, they're getting their mic on. Like, there's something about you get dressed up, obviously, you're wearing nice clothes, and you take that little walk, and it's amazing how much different it can be. So the best compliment I can give is you guys are the same in front of the camera as you are not in front of the camera, and that's the best advice, I think, the best compliment I think you can give anybody who is in the television universe. All right, let's dive in here. I don't know if you agree. We started off the show talking about this. I'm not sure we've ever had more big name quarterbacks and more uncertainty about the quarterback position in general in the NFL. Yeah. So let me just toss a couple of names out there at you. You give me kind of a read.
I don't know where they're going yet. It's way too early.
Yeah.
But before you go into that, don't be so surprised by it, because last year,
yep, it was wild.
Tom Brady was on the open market.
That's right.
Tom Brady was on the open market, right? And, man, there weren't a million suitors, and I'm sitting there going, oh, these teams are nuts. Anybody, Bruce Arians said it perfect yesterday. He said all it took was one man, as in Tom Brady, how much he changes everybody else.
That's
and
right.
Everybody, every quarterback should learn from him. And quarterbacks who want to be selfish and just care about what they're doing, man, Tom Brady makes sure everybody else knows how to watch film better, knows how to sleep better, knows how to prepare. But you know who else does that? Dak Prescott. That's what people don't understand about Dak or don't appreciate. Make sure everybody else gets their sleep the right way and studies the right way. And there's always so much more that you can give at that position. And, yeah, Tom was on the open market. You think how ridiculous that is now. He's going for his 10th Super Bowl, okay, and he was on the market. So I'm not so surprised that there's so much out there in the open market now.
Would you – so speaking of the open market, the only two teams you will know better than me that it seemed like really kicked the tires aggressively on Brady were the Bucs and maybe the Titans.
No, there were a couple others.
That you thought
the
were really legit in play.
The Dolphins, I think Dolphins, but they didn't have enough there. The 49ers definitely considered it because he wanted to go there. I will tell you this, the Saints, that's where they were going to go if Breeze retired.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yep. That's where Tom wanted to go, and that's where Sean Payton wanted to go if Drew retired.
So now that you've had Brady take a team to the Super Bowl, and now you have all these other guys potentially out there, Doesn't this make a lot of – the NFL is a copycat league like every place is, right? Somebody has success.
Yeah, yep.
Now everybody's looking at Brady and they're saying, well, maybe we're only a quarterback away. And there are certainly teams, the Bears, the Colts, the Patriots, like you could probably run through a lot that could feel like they have enough talent surrounding that if they get the right quarterback in, everything changes. And there are probably a lot more teams than the ones I just named. So Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers – Matthew Stafford, we know, is leaving. Carson Wentz. How many guys of those do you think end up on different teams? We know Stafford is going to. Do you buy into Deshaun Watson moving on? What do you think the Eagles do with Carson Wentz? How do you break those scenarios out in your mind as we roll into the offseason?
Well, I think they brought a Frank Reich guy in, Nick Sirianni, to make it work with Carson Wentz. And look, I talked to him. I said that, man, you got to – and I talked to some of the candidates. You got to go in there and tell them how we're going to make Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts look like Drew Brees and Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. That's the only solution. There's no other solution but to make it like that. So that's why they went that route, and they were going strong on offense. Stafford, as we know, man, I think Stafford could be really good in a few places. Maybe a place like San Francisco, maybe an Indy. Deshaun Watson, that's the guy I give up everything for. I mean,
yep.
You don't come across guys like that too often. On a team that bad, he led the league in passing. He is a leader. He's a role model. He's the type of guy you want leading your team, leading your prayer service, married into your family. Like he's, you know, there's not too many of them out there. There's guys like him and Mahomes and, man, so even at Jacksonville, I'd say, hey, I'd rather have Deshaun than Trevor Lawrence because Deshaun is a known quantity. I know.
Oh, that's actually a fascinating idea. So do you think Urban Meyer would consider that in any way, or do you think the Jags are completely committed to the idea of Trevor Lawrence as the overall number one pick? Like if the Texans called him.
I don't think they've gotten to that. I don't think they've gotten to that yet.
In division would also be tough. Yeah. Yeah.
I would do it because, man, I'd try. If I'm the Jets, I'd try. If I'm number three, it's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no way I'm not. It's Deshaun Watson. So he is elite. He is a top five quarterback in this league and the type of guy, his contract's already set. You could build around him. I would, all these other guys who come in, odds are they're not all going to pan out. It's just go by history. You just don't know which ones aren't going to pan out.
Now,
he already is.
Yeah, do you really believe that the Texans' relationship with Deshaun Watson in his mind is so broken that there's no way he goes back? Or do you think if they hire the right head coach and if they sit down with him and if they try to work the process back, what are you hearing about how irretrievably broken that relationship is or is not?
I think their answer would have been Eric Bieniemy, and that's what a lot of caused it. Because he would have been able to bring over a lot of the same stuff that they're doing with Mahomes.
Yeah.
Probably be able to expand more on what Deshaun does. I've seen worse fights in the league between players and their teams. And when it comes down to it, people don't like to lose their money and get fined. And last time we saw somebody just sit out the whole year was Le'Veon Bell, and that didn't work out well.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing. For those people who are ripping Deshaun, saying, well, players don't have the right to be in those – meetings and like if they don't want it, well, listen, that's not it. If they tell you you're going to be a part of it, then they lied to him. So he has a right to be upset. If they say if they decide he's not going to be part of it, that's their right too, right? And he shouldn't be upset by that. I think I know what he's upset about is that they told him he was going to be part of it, and then has nothing to do with it. And look, they already don't have a great reputation over there. They got to rebuild some culture. And I just think that they need to go above and beyond. I think it's, in his mind, it's probably not repairable, but, there's been other situations in the past where you didn't think they were repairable, and it depends whether the team caved on Khalil Mack. They didn't really have to, the Raiders, but they did. They didn't want to deal with the heat. I did a story after Strahan's record-breaking year that he was out. He wanted to leave New York. He's not come back. No way. Oh, and man, I was at CBS at the time. We broke into the NCAA. Breaking news that RJ Glazer reporting Michael Strahan has demanded a trade from the New York Giants. He does not want to be there. Will not play in New York again. It was ugly through training camp. And then he came back and went to the Hall of Fame as a Giant. So things have a way of, sometimes feelings, teams are able, always have the power to mend the relationship. It depends how far they want to go.
Couple of other questions. I appreciate you, Jay Glazer. Go follow him on Twitter. He's fantastic. Fox NFL Insider. Where would you make the favorite for Matthew Stafford? And how rapidly do you think a decision like that gets made?
I can't say yet. It's going to have to be before the, I think it's the 5th or 10th day of the new league year, because he's owed a roster bonus then.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be before. March? Might be March 10th or something along those lines. I don't have the calendar in front of me.
Yeah, but relatively soon, he'll have to make a decision about, and the team will have to make a decision.
Within the month.
Yeah.
But, yeah, within the month. But, man, this is a year you just said there's a lot of supply this year.
Yeah.
And last year there was a lot of supply, and look what happened. No one touched Cam Newton.
That's right.
Right? So there's a lot of supply last year, and guys like that were kind of left out in the cold. But a lot of that was because of, they weren't able to see his shoulder and his foot because of COVID. That had more to do with that than anything else. But, when there's a lot of supply, there's going to be somebody to be like, oh my God, how do I get left out of here?
What about Aaron Rodgers? We saw how bad and crushed he
was.
That's
crazy if they let Aaron. I hear you, but man. Life, they will be so miserable because they don't know what it's like. They haven't had a lot of adversity in that team.
Yeah.
Right? They've got Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It's not the real world.
So
we went from Peyton Manning to Drew Brees and then to Tom Brady. This doesn't happen, except in Green Bay. So, man, I would be real careful if I'm them about, be careful what you wish for there.
Last question. I appreciate you, Jay. How much credit does the NFL deserve in this COVID year to not only get every game in, but to have it occur in the schedule in which it was placed? And now we got, 12 days until an epic Super Bowl between Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Tom Brady and the Bucks. This is one of the all-time most impressive things I think the NFL has ever done, and I'm not even hearing them get praised as much as I think they deserve. The players, the coaches, the league, everybody, to pull this off is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I agree. And look, I don't do that politicizing the pandemic crap. I don't do that crap. But, man, I really think that the country needed something like this, a distraction. We needed a distraction. And it couldn't have just been Tiger King.
Yeah, no kidding. It feels like a long time ago.
Distraction. And, remember back on the draft, people were like up in arms. You can have the draft. How could you have the draft when this is going on? And Roger Goodell, man, he was just like, I think this country needs this. And he took bullets and
he was right.
Draft, and it was spectacular. He was right. And then same thing for this. We got through this season. And I talked to both Bruce Arians and Andy Reid about it. And both those guys are like, man, we are so happy we can give people an escape. Like, man, and with what just happened this year with, politics, it's unfortunately that, no one's allowed to be in the middle anymore. It's just everybody's liking to hate each other. At least this gives people some common ground to have a little love and cheer for each other. And, it was an odd year because for me, I'll be honest with you, and Kurt Menefee on our show is our therapist.
Yeah.
He's one we all talk to. Right? Because the rest of us are crazy. And Kurt's pretty sane. And I said pretty.
Yeah.
And I told him, in the beginning of the year, I said, I'm really kind of struggling here because, man, I'm reporting on COVID in the NFL when people are dying for this. And he's like, I know, but, man, we got it. It's your job, and we've got to give people an escape. And people need anything, something. And we're in the middle of two sides politically battling. And he's like, we need to see it. And we have the racial injustice. And he's like, we need an escape from the real world. And I know it's kind of – and I was like, man, but I just feel guilty that I'm talking just about football. He's like, that's our job. And now by the end of it, I was in that kind of funk for about 4 or 5 weeks in the middle of the season. I'm like, man, I'm glad I was able to – I'm glad you talked me right because you're right. We needed this. Like, we needed something else to root for. We're not doing a lot of rooting and cheering these days in this country. And we need something to root and cheer for. So, and I'll tell you this, the players, man, I give them so much credit. There was so much, I think it was Sean Payton told me before the year, and he was the first one in the league to have it. He said, the trouble we're going to have is there's 100 stories or 200 stories in our building. In other words, each player and each person there, they go home. And they have wives and families and children, and maybe some are going to school in person, maybe some are teachers, maybe some, and they're in person. And man, they come back, or they were the sick parent, or they have a sick child, or some. There's all these stories, and somehow we have to get 200 stories to all come back in every week, match up together, and be healthy. And when he said it to me, I was like, "Oh, dude, that's never going to happen." He's like, "I hear you. It's going to take the players and all of us doing something that I hope that we're able to do." And when you put it that way, you really see how far above and beyond the players went, coaches went, personnel went, everybody went to keep each other healthy. Really did a great, man, they unified.
And Jay, every time you come on the show, we're going to get tremendous feedback. You're fantastic. I appreciate it. I'm glad you were there, and I'm glad you guys all got it through. Keep up the good work, and we'll hopefully talk to you again sometime soon, my man.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, dude.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.